الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. وقال تعالى: سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, this month of Rajab that we find ourselves in, or this month of Rajab which is almost leaving us, it is one of the four sacred months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid that verily the months of the year are 12, and for amongst the months of the year, 4 months are regarded as sacred months. That is Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and the fourth one is Rajab. In these sacred months, in the past, fighting and engaging in battle was not permitted. So these are Mubarak and these are holy months. And you find this month of Rajab also has other great virtues and benefits. And one of the great virtues of this Mubarak month of Rajab is its close proximity to the month of Ramadan. When this month of Rajab is to enter, then it is the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighra Ramadan. That, O Allah, bless us in this Mubarak month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and O Allah, make us mean the month of Ramadan. So preparation also starts taking place for the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And when we say preparations, we mean that increasing in our ibadat, increasing our amal, and increasing in our safety of our iman, in staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the preparation that is required prior to the month of Ramadan. Like any event that takes place, a major event, or any event that is to take place, be it a wedding or a walima or some sort of jalsa, etc., or some other sort of event, then preparation does not take place at the last minute, but preparation takes place in advance. So this month of Rajab, which has come, is like a time of preparation for us to prepare for the Mubarak month of Ramadan that is coming. Together with that, the 27th of Rajab, as we are all gathered here today, according to many, it is that night, that Mubarak night, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook that very, very blessed journey from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa, and thereafter to the seven heavens, close to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is one very, very, or it is the call of many, it is the opinion of many, that this took place on the 27th of Rajab. Friends and elders, we find that this mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this great journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had come in a very, very difficult time in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala mentions, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi, that pure is that being, pure is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who journeyed his slave. Allah Ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as slave, as banda, as servant. Allah Ta'ala could have used any other term, Rasul, Nabi, like Allah Ta'ala refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in other places of the Quran, but here Allah Ta'ala refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a slave. And the reason behind it is to show the abdiyat, to show the submission, to show the qurbani and sacrifice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook for this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashaddu an-nasi bala'an al-anbiya, that those that underwent the greatest amount of test, the most test, are the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, thumma al-amthal fal-amthal, thereafter the close ones and the pious chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They underwent the most amount of test. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through the most amount of difficulty. Prior to Mi'raj taking place, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hardship and difficulty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, reached a very, very high level. 3 years prior to that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were boycotted by the different Quraysh tribes of Makkatul Mukarrama. They had made up an agreement that we will now unanimously agree to boycott the Muslims and those that are associated with them. And it was such a boycott, nobody was allowed to trade with them in any way. Nobody was allowed to marry with them in any way. Nobody was allowed to have any form of dealings with them in any way. Abu Talib, who did not accept Islam, but he stood firm with the believers, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he took them in what became known as the Valley of Abu Talib. He took them away and they went to that area. But they went through such hardship and difficulties that the cries of hunger of the babies of the Muslims could be heard in Makkatul Mukarrama. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions the hardship that they went, that they experienced during that time in the Valley of Abu Talib. He mentions that one night I was so hungry, I was so overcome by hunger, I went out in search of food in the darkness of the night to find anything that I could eat. And after a while, my foot stumbled upon something that was moist. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that I do not know what my foot stumbled upon, but I took it, and without looking at it, I placed it into my mouth just to satiate my hunger. And he mentioned that up till today, I do not know what I had eaten on that night. Such was his hunger that he was prepared to eat anything. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas mentions another incident also. He says that I was so hungry and I went out in search of food, and I came across, in his desperation, he comes across a skin of a camel. And he says that I took the skin of the camel that was already decaying and rotting, and I began burning it. I burnt the entire skin till it became very, very hard, and thereafter I began pounding it into a form of a powder. And in my desperation and my hunger, I ate this powder, this powdery from this skin of this animal. I mixed it up with water and I ate it. Such was the hardship and the difficulties that the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced during those 3 years of boycott. And after a long period of time, there were many that tried to negotiate with the leaders of the Quraysh that end the boycott. But they were persistent. From the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of them stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Lahab was one such person that did not stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He chose to remain in Makkatul Mukarramah with the kuffar and the leaders of the Quraysh. And he was one of the main instigators in this also. After these 3 years, this agreement that they had drawn up, they began writing it with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter they drew up this agreement and all the leaders of the various Quraysh tribes signed it. And they hung it on the wall of the Kaaba. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs Abu Talib that this agreement has now been eaten up by ants, and all that remains in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Talib was not a Muslim, but he calls the leaders of the Quraysh and he tells them that the agreement that you had drawn up has been eaten up. and he's not existed anymore. So let's end this boycott now. So they did not agree, they did not listen, but he persisted and he said that I am certain that he has been eaten up. So they asked him that, how do you know? He said that my nephew Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed me this. And up till today, from the time he was born up till today, not one word of lie has left the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was so convinced with the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had offered protection to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib offered protection to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he tells the leaders of the kuffar that go and check up about his agreement. If this agreement is in existence, it is still intact and it is still there, I will hand over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to you. But if this agreement is not existent anymore, then end the boycott. So they agreed and they went, and it was a form of a mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah Ta'ala had made this agreement become non-existent by means of ants that had eaten up that agreement, and all that remained was the bismillah that was written at the top of the agreement. And after three hard and difficult years, they now ended this boycott. But this boycott came with some very, very hard effects with it also. Two very, very close family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two beloved pillars of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was Abu Talib, as I had mentioned, that he had been a pillar of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his journey. And the other was our beloved mother, Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Very, very few days after this boycott ended, they, because of the difficulty that they endured, because of the difficulty that endured during this boycott, Abu Talib and thereafter our beloved mother Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha both passed away. And what grieved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more was that Abu Talib, despite being a pillar of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left this dunya without iman. So this was very, very difficult upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His two great supports had now left this world. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a great amount of grief, great amount of sorrow, now decided that he should leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, and he undertook this difficult journey to Taif. It is a lengthy incident, not going to the finer details, but contrary to the customary Arab hospitality, they treated Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam very, very harshly. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the three leaders, and they mocked and they jeered Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They called him a liar. They said, I do not wish to associate with you. Kuzun Allah Ta'ala has chosen anyone else as a prophet. And after Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam having left them, it did not end there. They called the boys that hang around in the street corners together and harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was harmed in such a way that they began hurling and abusing insults and stoning the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent that the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was flowing with blood, and the Mubarak shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became clogged with blood. Many, many years thereafter, Hazrat Aisha once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that O Nabi of Allah, was there any day in your life more difficult than the battle of Uhud? We know the battle of Uhud, initially the Sahaba were victorious, but thereafter the Kuffar came back and they ambushed the Sahaba from the rear and surrounded them from both sides, and the Sahaba suffered a lot of losses in the battle of Uhud. So Hazrat Aisha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was there any day in your life that was more difficult than this battle of Uhud? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Hazrat Aisha that, O Aisha, there was one day in my life that was more difficult, and it was this day of Taif when I sat in that garden and Jibreel Amin appeared, and he says that this is the angel that is in charge of the mountains. He is under your command. That you, if you command, these mountains will be moved and this entire nation of Taif will be destroyed. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, bal arju ay yakhruj Allah min aslabihim, may ya'budu Allah wahdah wa la yushriku bi shay'a. Rather, my wish, my concern, my desire is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out people from amongst this progeny of this people of Taif who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not ascribe any parties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the wish, this was the desire and the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such difficulty, such hardship, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lies in that garden of open enemies of Islam. But even they took pity and they sent their slave Addas with some grapes and he presented in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But even at that opportunity, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives dawat to the slave Addas. So this was the journey of Taif, the difficult journey that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had undertaken. And after years of hardship, years of difficulty, years of qurbani and sacrifice, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now goes back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And after all these difficulties, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey, and such a Mubarak journey, not to anywhere in this world, but directly to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to many ulama ikram, it was a journey of comfort, it was a journey of consolation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen this journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and thereafter to the seven heavens as a form of comfort for the years of difficulty, hardship and qurbani that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had enjoyed. Friends and elders, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used Masjid al-Aqsa as a place of comfort and security for other Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was being thrown into the fire and thereafter Allah ta'ala saved him from the fire, Quran mentions such a large fire that they had built that if an animal tried to walk past that fire, that animal become burnt. Weeks upon weeks it took them to build up that fire. Women used to take vows that if a certain need of mine is fulfilled, if I get a certain amount of money, I will buy firewood and donate it towards the fire of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They took it as an ibadah to stoke the fire of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And weeks upon weeks they took to build that fire. If a bird had to fly over that fire, that bird would fall down and roast into the fire. Such a large fire, they were unable to even put Ibrahim alayhi salam into that fire. Shaitan inspired upon them to use a catapult and they were going to hoist Ibrahim alayhi salam into that fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to protect Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Quran mentions that قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ, that Allah Ta'ala made it such that this fire was a means of peace and coolness for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. And after Allah Ta'ala protected Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala took him and saved him. Allah Ta'ala mentions وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we saved him, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we saved Lut alayhi salam also. Lut alayhi salam, his nation was immoral. They had perpetrated this despicable act of homosexuality. They were the first to perpetrate this act. And it was such a disliked act in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat destroyed that nation of Lut alayhi salam. Such a punishment that Allah ta'ala sent upon them. Not one punishment would have sufficed. But Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَأَخَذَتُمُ صَيْحَةُ الْمُصْبِحِينَ فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّينَ. There are three punishments to destroy this nation. They had earned the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent. Friends and elders, we find that this crime of days is now creeping into our society. It has become very, very common. And we have reached a time and an era where the sin of days has not even become acceptable. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us, protect our families, protect our progenies from this evil. And save each and every one of our family members from this evil. And save the Muslim ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, we are finding that even Muslims are becoming involved in this despicable and filthy, inhumane act. This is against the natural traits of Islam and deen. Allah Ta'ala became so angry with this nation that first the scream seized them, and thereafter Allah Ta'ala lifted up this nation so high that the barking of the dogs of the nation of Lut alayhi salam could be heard in the first heaven. Allah Ta'ala turned this nation and crushed them to the ground. And not only that, thereafter, وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلِيمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّينَ, Allah Ta'ala mentions that we caused to rain upon them boulders and rocks. Such wrath and anger they had earned of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this nation of Lut alayhi salam was destroyed. Allah Ta'ala mentions that we saved Lut alayhi salam and we took him ila al-ardi allati barakna fiha lil-alamin. We took him to the blessed land. With the blessed land, it is that land of Palestine, the Mubarak land This was the land of Anbiya Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And time and again, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala refers to the Mubarak land of Palestine, of Palestine, of Masjid Al-Aqsa as the blessed land. Sulaiman Alayhi Salam, he was the inhabitant of this land. And Quran talks about him time and again. Wali Sulaiman Ar-Riha. Sulaiman Alayhi Salam, he dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That Rabbi habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. He made dua for three things to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. First dua that Nabi Sulaiman Alayhi Salam made, that, oh my Allah, bless me with such a kingdom that nobody after me will have such a kingdom. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الْرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِي رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَابِ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّاسٍ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned thereafter that He blessed Sulaiman Alayhi Salam with such a kingdom, one control that Allah Ta'ala had given. فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الْرِّيحَ, that we subjugated the wind for Sulaiman alayhi salam. Wali Sulaiman al-Riha huduwa shahrun wa rawahwa shahr. Sulaiman alayhi salam used to use the wind to travel. Quran mentions that what used to take an entire month's journey, Sulaiman alayhi salam used to travel in one morning stride. What used to take an entire month's journey, he should travel in the evening by means of the wind. And where he used to travel to, Wali Sulaiman al-Riha asifatan tajri bi amrihi ila al-ardi allati barakna fiha lil-alameen. The Sulaiman alayhi salam used to travel by means of the wind to the blessed land, the land of Palestine, the land of Al-Quds, the land of Masjid Al-Aqsa. Allah Ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam many other special favors also. Allah Ta'ala had given him control of the shayateen, of the jinnat. They used to go and dive in the oceans and bring back for him ornaments, jewels and precious pearls. Sulaiman alayhi salam's jinnat used to build strong buildings for him. Many of those buildings are still found today around Masjid Al-Aqsa. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala had not only given him control over insan, not only control over jinnat, Allah Ta'ala had even given him control of the birds. وَحِشِرُوا لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. The army of Sulaiman alayhi salam was gathered. It consisted of insan, it consisted of jinnat, it consisted of birds also. Hatta idha atu ala wadi naml. Quran mentions the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam was such that Allah Ta'ala had given him the ability to even hear the whispering of the ants also. Such was the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. This wadi naml also, it is in the blessed land. The second dua that Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam made, that if he had to pass judgment in anything, if he had to pass judgment in any affair or any matter, then pass judgment fairly. And the third dua that Sulaiman alayhi salam made was that, oh Allah, whoever visits Masjid Al-Aqsa, whoever visits Masjid Al-Aqsa solely for the purpose of ibadat, then, oh Allah, forgive that person. So these were the three du'as that Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam made. We find that Masjid Al-Aqsa, Allah Ta'ala had used it and it featured in this Mubarak journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It hosts such a great honor that on this Mubarak journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he goes to Masjid Al-Aqsa, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, azan was called, and thereafter it was time for salah. All the anbiya were present in Masjid Al-Aqsa at that time, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Imam al-Anbiya, was chosen as the Imam to lead all the anbiya in salah. Masjid Al-Aqsa has this unique honor of being the only masjid on the surface of this earth where guaranteed every single Nabi of Allah performs salah there. This was a Mubarak Masjid Al-Aqsa. One Sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was the first masjid upon the surface of this earth? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied that it is Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Thereafter the Sahabi asked, which was the second masjid upon the surface of this earth? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied that it was Masjid al-Aqsa. He asked, what is the time period between Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Aqsa? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied that a period of 40 years. Masjid al-Aqsa is part of our deen, part of Islam from the very, very beginning. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that that person who performs salah, there are different riwayat. According to one riwayat, that person who performs salah in Masjid al-Haram, he gets the reward of 100,000 times more than salah performed in his own masjid. That person who performs salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, he gets the reward multiplied 1,000 times more. That person who performs salah in Masjid al-Aqsa, he gets the reward of 500 times more. This masjid, there are only two masajid. Many masjid are made reference to in the Quran Majid, but there are only two masjids whose name is specifically mentioned in the Quran. Other masajid references made to them, like Masjid al-Quba. Allah Ta'ala references Masjid al-Quba لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه. Other masajid also reference is made to them, but the name of the masjid, only two masjids, the name is masjid mentioned in the Quran. One is Masjid al-Haram, and the other is Masjid al-Aqsa. Hazrat Maymuna radiyallahu ta'ala anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if you are able to visit it, then you should undertake this journey and go and visit Masjid al-Aqsa. But if you are unable to visit Masjid al-Aqsa, then at least you should donate money to purchase lanterns that light the lamps that are burning in Masjid al-Aqsa. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that person who puts on his ihram at Masjid al-Aqsa, and thereafter he undertakes his journey of Umrah, the Rawi of the hadith mentions that one of two things Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions. Either Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Jannat is wajib upon this person, or this person will be completely forgiven and he will return home like the day his mother gave birth to him. Such is the Mubarak virtues of Masjid al-Aqsa, and we find that it is featured in the Mubarak journey. It was that Masjid that in our understanding Allah Ta'ala had chosen to undertake that journey right up until the heavens. We find that Masjid al-Aqsa was the first Qibla in Islam for a period of approximately 16 to 17 months. Sahaba used to first face Masjid al-Aqsa, and thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the second part of the Quran, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةٍ تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Now begin facing Masjid al-Haram. So this is the great virtues, and like that there are many, many ahadith and many, many mubarak virtues of Masjid al-Aqsa. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat returns Masjid al-Aqsa to the hands of the believers and accept each and every one of us to visit Masjid al-Aqsa again and again. Friends, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this Mubarak journey, and we know the incident. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the different heavens and different Anbiya he met there, and thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all these years of grief, hardship, qurbani and sacrifice, now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala had given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a gift. And this is also a lesson for us, that after all these years and of hardship and difficulty, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now returning back to the ummah with a gift. And what is this gift? Initially it was 50 salah. Thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes down, meets Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Musa about this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him of 50 salah. Musa alayhi salam tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my ummah couldn't manage it. Your ummah will never ever manage it. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back and comes back. And after a few times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduces it to 5 salah. But the reward of 50 salah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will perform this 5 salah, but he will still get the reward of 50 salah. Man ja'a bil hasana falahu ashru amthaliha. Multiply 10 times, despite being reduced to 5 salah, the reward is still there for performing 50 salah. Friends and elders, we find that in this is a ishara also, that after difficulty, after hardship, after qurbani, after sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a comforting journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a solution for the problems for the ummah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. That the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hardship, the sacrifice, the qurbani, and the difficulty that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had endured cannot be compared to any hardship and sacrifice of any ummati of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the hardship and the difficulty of the entire ummah as you place on one side of the scale, and the qurbani, the hardship and difficulty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be far more weighted than the hardship and the qurbani of the entire ummah, such as the difficulty that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has undertaken, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a solution for this ummah, that you want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go into salah, go into sajda, prostrate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Firstly, we're enjoying sabr. They go through sabr, go through, enjoy the difficulty and hardship that you're going through, and thereafter go into salah. Go into salah. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who endure this patience. And thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran that wala nabluwannakum, that you will definitely be tested. to go through difficulty, to go through hardship, to go through sacrifice, you will definitely undergo difficulty. You will definitely be tested. Different types of tests. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. You will go through fear. You will go through hunger. You will go through poverty. You will undergo loss of life. You will undergo loss of wealth. You will go through difficulty in your own self. You will go through health issues. All this is a test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will come. Thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But Allah ta'ala gives glad tidings to those who exercise sabr, who exercise patience. And how do they exercise patience? أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصْحَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That when any difficulty or hardship comes upon a person, he says that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah we belong and to Allah we return. Friends and elders, we find that this is the iman of those people that are suffering also by this oppressive current, oppressive regime, these occupiers, the difficulty, that the hardship that they're enduring. But their iman is there. You'll find that in Gaza currently, when they go to sleep, they do not know whether they will even see their beloved ones the next morning. And that death toll is just rising and rising. The last we heard is about 30,000. And it continues rising. Many of them babies. What difficulty, what hardship they are going through. But after years and years of this difficulty and hardship, it does not turn them away in their iman. It does not turn them in their yaqeen, their faith. They always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Masjid al-Aqsa was first conquered in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We find that it was such a journey. In the year 15th after Hijrah, Masjid al-Aqsa of Palestine was in the control of the Romans. And the army of Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu was advancing many territories. And they had defeated many armies along the way. And thereafter they reached the city of Jerusalem. And they laid siege to the city for 4 long months in winter, enduring cold, enduring harsh weather conditions, snow, etc., laying siege upon the city of Jerusalem. Thereafter they learned from the Romans that in their scriptures it had been said that the keys of Masjid al-Aqsa will be given to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So in the year 15th after Hijrah, Hazrat Amr ibn As sends his letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that this is what we have heard. So Umar radiallahu makes mashwara and thereafter leaves for Masjid al-Aqsa. Not with an army, just Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his slave. Between them one animal. And on their journey, Hazrat Umar used to take turns with his slave to ride the animal. Sometimes Hazrat Umar used to ride the animal, sometimes his slave used to ride the animal. And like that way, in that way, they continued towards Masjid al-Aqsa. On the last leg of their journey, when they are about to enter the city of Jerusalem, it was the turn of the slave to ride the animal. So the slave, now out of respect for his master, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he tells him that now we are going to enter Masjid al-Aqsa, we are going to enter Jerusalem and come close to Masjid al-Aqsa. I forego my turn to ride the animal and I request you to remain on the animal and I will lead you into Jerusalem. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu refuses and disembarks from the animal. The slave rides upon the conveyance, and in this condition, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu holding the reins of the animal and the slave boy riding the animal, they enter the city of Jerusalem in this condition. And the kuffar, the enemy, when they look at this sight in front of them, they immediately, without any bloodshed, without any warfare, immediately they give the keys to Masjid al-Aqsa into the hands of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we find that from the year 15th after Hijrah, right up until the year 490 after Hijrah, Masjid al-Aqsa remained in the hands of the believers. But thereafter, the Christian crusaders, from the year 490 till the year 583 after Hijrah, they controlled Masjid al-Aqsa a period of almost 90 years. And in that time, they had caused such anarchy and such bloodshed that approximately 70,000 Muslims were made shaheed. But in the year 583, Allah Ta'ala had intended that Masjid al-Aqsa must once again return to the hands of believers. And Allah Ta'ala had chosen a person by the name of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi. It was noted regarding Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi that he was such a leader that despite being a powerful leader, a powerful king, Zakat never became wajib upon him. Such was his abstinence upon from this dunya. For many, many years, he never performed Hajj. He never had the opportunity of performing Hajj because of his qurbani and sacrifice and his dedication and commitment towards the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. It is mentioned regarding him that for many, many years, he never ever performed Salah alone. He always performed Salah in Jamaat. And people used to tell him, he shouldn't smile. He should always in worry and concern. People should tell him that why are you not eating? Why are you not drinking? He said that how can I enjoy the taste of food? How can I take enjoyment from food and drink when Masjid al-Aqsa is still in the hands of the disbelievers? Such was his worry and concern from the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. It was with this qurbani and sacrifice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him that in the year 583 after Hijrah, it was a Friday, 27th of Rajab also, that Salahuddin al-Ayyubi was handed the keys of Masjid al-Aqsa and he liberated Masjid al-Aqsa. He entered Masjid al-Aqsa and he began destroying all the crosses that were present at that time. Friends and elders, we are finding ourselves in a situation and a condition now that Masjid al-Aqsa is not in our hands, but our duty, our responsibility at this moment in time is what? It is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our duty is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Masjid al-Aqsa has been given this prominence and has been given this status and this worthiness through salah, through that gift of salah. And this gift of salah is a lifeblood for us, that even though we cannot undertake this mi'raj, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity that salah is a mi'raj of a mu'min, that five times daily salah with jamaat in the masjid, we can undertake this journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam direct to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our gift, and this is our, like how if a person goes on a journey and family members are waiting, that what has he brought back? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought back a gift for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is this gift of seeking the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turning and in submission towards salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this way. One is to bring about salah in our lives. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا, and to bring about that worry and concern that our family also, salah must come alive in the ummah. We find that this was the worry and concern of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he went and left his family in Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And thereafter he tells me dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri li zar'in inda baytika al-muharram, that oh my Allah, I have left my family in such a place, there is no crops, it is a completely barren land by the sacred and the blessed house, I have left my family there. But he hands over the affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, oh Allah, you sustain them. He left this risk and sustenance in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was his request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, that oh Allah, make my family establish salah. وَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ, that make them bring about salah in their lives. So this is a worry and the concern of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam when he left his family in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and this was the worry and concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also we find that in Hajjatul Wada', Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was like Hajjatul Wada', the advices given at that time were like parting advices for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam informs his ummah that as-salah wa ma malakat imanukum, that safeguard your salah, protect your salah, be mindful of your salah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was lying on his deathbed, such a difficult illness he was enduring, he was stabbed and such a large wound in his stomach that if he ate any food, it used to come out from it, the whole large hole in his stomach. He's going through this difficulty and hardship, in and out of the state of consciousness. When Sahabi comes to visit him, and he sees him in this condition, Miswar ibn Makhrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to visit him. So he asked his son, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Hazrat Umar then awakened from the state of his, he was unconscious, that he awakened from the state of his. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar mentions that, yes, my father awakens from the state only in one condition, when he is reminded of salah. Then automatically he awakens from this. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar tells him this, Hazrat Musab ibn Makhrama tests it, and he says that, As-salah ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, As-salah ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, that O Amir al-Mu'mineen, the time of salah has come near, the time of salah has come near. And immediately, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu awakens from this condition, this difficult condition of his, and he says that, As-salah, As-salah, the time of salah has come near, I need to perform my salah. La hazza fil Islam liman taraka as-salah. There is no share in Islam for that person who is neglectful, who is unmindful, who omits his salah. Friends and elders, is so important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith that if I wish I could gather firewood and go and burn the homes of those who are performing salah in their homes. They were not neglecting their salah. They were just missing salah with jamaat. If I could go and burn the homes of those who are performing salah in their homes. Friends and elders, can you imagine the harshness and the sin and the evil of that person who discards his salah completely? In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that man fatatu salatuhu fa ka'annama hutira ahluhu wa ma'luhu, that the person who leaves out his salah, who discards his salah, it is as though he has lost his entire family, his entire wealth. We are witnessing the atrocities, the genocide, the Holocaust, the massacres that are taking place in Gaza, and definitely our heart cries, our heart bleeds at the difficulty that they're enduring. Total localities, total towns have been obliterated. So many families have been destroyed. And definitely, they were a Muslim brother. Nabi Akhirisa mentioned in the hadith that the believer is like one body. If one part of his body, if our finger feels pain, our entire body feels pain. If our head is paining, our entire body experiences difficulty and hardship. Friends and elders, we feel the pain, the suffering, the difficulties that our Muslim brothers and sisters are suffering in Palestine. But friends and elders, those that have been made shaheed, they are guaranteed their jannat. And those that are undergoing their hardship, they are being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is putting them through this difficulty and elevating their ranks and their status. And definitely we cry. But on the other hand, friends and elders, Nabi Kareem is also mentioning that a person who leaves out one salah, is as though he has lost his entire family and his entire wealth. Shouldn't we also grieve and worry and concern and cry over this also? There's such an important aspect of our faith. This entire sabak, this entire incident, this entire mi'raj. What is the entire lesson? What is the entire sabak behind it? To bring about salah into our lives. To not only bring about salah, but to establish salah. That salah will become the main point of our lives. That anything has to take second place. Salah has to become first in our lives. Inna awwalu ma yuhasabu bil 'abdu yawm al-qiyamati min 'amalihi as-salah. The first thing that a person would be questioned with regards from the day of Qiyamah, for amongst his deeds, it was regards to his salah. So this is the lesson, this is what we should bring about in our lives, and this is the entire sabak and the gift of Mi'raj, that to bring about salah into our lives, and to ensure that salah comes alive in our lives, into our families, into our progenies, and salah comes alive in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many, many ni'mats. We cannot possibly count the ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And one of the very, very great ni'mats Allah ta'ala has given us as Muslims of this country, and it is such a ni'mat that even other countries don't enjoy, it is our abundance of masajid. Many a times when we get together, we begin discussing the number of masajid that have come up in this city of Durban, this greatest city of Durban. Alhamdulillah, such a great ni'mat. Every corner now, you'll find either is a musalla or there is a masjid. We are not left with any excuse. This is a ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at other countries of the world. When they discard salah, when they turn their backs on the masjid, when they turn away from deen, then the masjids become empty. Masjids are turned into museums. Masjids are taken over. This is a gift from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua, Allah give us many more masajid. But friends and elders, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Let us make shukr of this ni'mat, of the various masajid, various musallas, comfortable masajid have been given. Let us make shukr of this ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do you make shukr of this ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is to ensure that our masjid are abad. We are not only, unfortunately today, we have become like a ritualistic ummat, that we find on nights that we understand to be big nights, perhaps Rabiul Awal, Ashura, on the occasion of Mi'raj, Shab-e Barat is coming, the month of Ramadan is coming, we find the masjid becomes full. Masjids become full on these occasions. On the day of Jummah, when there's a janazah, when there's a nikah, masjid become full. And thereafter, the masjid becomes empty again. We are not only Muslims on these nights. We are not only Muslims in the month of Rajab. We are not only Muslims in the month of Ramadan. We are not only Muslims on the day of Jummah. Friends and elders, our responsibility is to bring about Salah. We are Muslims each moment, each second of our life. And Salah is our responsibility 5 times a day. We make dua towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala gives us the true realization and the true sabak and the true understanding of the sabak of Mi'raj to bring about complete Salah into our lives and into the lives of the family 5 times daily with Jamaat in the masjid. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك لك الحمد يا ربنا كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم احفظ مسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين اللهم لعلن كفرة الذين يسدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم شتت شملهم اللهم مزق جمعهم اللهم دمر ديارهم اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترد عن القوم المجرمين اللهم أهلكهم كما أهلكت عاد وثمود اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر جزى الله أن نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم وأهله يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق سيدنا ومطوعنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.